How you could have lost your mind. Check some of us should have lost our minds. But God has kept us and allowed us to see a brand new year. Amen, amen, and amen. Can we celebrate and praise him up there? Amen. I just saw some of our people are still on travel, so we're certainly thankful for a phenomenal praise and worship leader in Rolanda, who is tremendously talented. She plays keys, she plays guitar, she writes music, and she sings. I do none of those. I do sing, but I can't sing, and so I'm so thankful for her. Allowing God to use her here at Uplift. I stepped out to put on my mic, and when I walked out, I was singing a song. And when I walked out, Venencia, who's sitting over there smiling now, said, "Pastor, was that you?" I said, "Yeah, I sound good, didn't it?" She said, "Oh, Pastor, that was you?" I said, "Really?" Hey, man, I do try. She thought it was Minister Rawls because I know I sound better than him. So that's probably why she was a little shocked. We are equally bad singing together. Amen. Listen, I am excited about this new series that we are beginning this year. It's I hope, going to be a blessing in your life. It has been a blessing in my life simply preparing it. So if you have your Bibles, your book of instruction before leaving earth, I invite your attention to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter number 2. Nehemiah chapter number 2. We're going to be in the book of Nehemiah for a few weeks, and so I want us to kind of see what Nehemiah says to us as we're beginning a new series called Ambition. Ambition. There is a difference between those who simply live and those who live with purpose. There is a difference between those who only view the world as it currently is and those who dare to envision the world as it could be. There is a difference between those who simply get by with life as it is and those who dare to make their lives what it could be. All of us have to decide which one we will be. Will we be the ones who would dare to live out our godly ambition and to bring about a world that God wants to see? Again, we are in Nehemiah chapter number 2. When you have it, say amen. We ask you to stand to honor the reading of God's word. If you have an iPhone or iPad, you can open an app and scroll there as well. Amen and amen. Nehemiah chapter number 2. I'm going to read the first 9 verses. Here's what it says. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, "Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of your heart." I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" The king said to me, "What is it you want?" Then I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered the king, "If it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it." The king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, "How long will your journey take and when will you get back?" It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. I also said to him, If it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the royal park, so he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple and for the city wall and for the residence I will occupy. Because the generous hand of my God was on me, the king granted my request. So I went to the governors of Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letters. The king had also sent army officers and cavalry with me. This is the word of God for the people of God, and the word of God is already blessed. Listen, before you take your seat, it's a new year, so let's try to start this year off right with a smile on your face. Let me smile. I see like half a smiles, semi-smiles. This is going to be your year kind of smile. Like, I'm really going to get it right this year kind of smile. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Let's try. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Good morning. It's good to see you. Glad you're here in church. This morning's sermon is embracing your ambition. Look at another neighbor. Look at another neighbor. Say, neighbor. Hey. How you doing? Glad to see you. This morning's sermon is for you. This morning's sermon is embracing your ambition. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Will you pray with me? Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily. That these, your people, would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me. Spirit divine, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Embracing your ambition, amen. Marcel, you can bring my mic down just a tad bit. Here, a little bit of feedback. Embracing your ambition. There's a lady by the name of Liz Murray. She grew up in Bronx in New York City. She grew up to drug-addicted parents who sometimes sold the stuff in their house just to get their fix. As a child, she hated school because when she did go to school, she was teased because she was weird. She was the oddball. She wasn't that clean. After all, she didn't have somebody at home really trying to take care of her. As she grew older, her parents lost their apartment. Her mother suffered from AIDS. She became increasingly ill and she was hospitalized. And her father struggled from shelter to shelter. And rather than submit to her dehumanizing sadness, she made up her mind that she was going to try and do a little bit more. She was put into foster care and she went from house to house. She ended up choosing to fend for herself. She slept on friends' couches or floors at odd hours. She camped out at the subway at night just trying to make ends meet for herself. When she was 16 years old, her mom died. And she felt that that event slapped her in the face. That caused her to question where her life was going. When in the eighth grade, she decided that she was going to turn things around for herself, that she was going to get out of where she was. She was going to take control of her own life. after she got admitted into a particular high school. That high school took the students on a trip to Harvard University. Now, she is a kid of drug-addicted parents. Her father is homeless. She has been sleeping on other people's couches and on floors, but she got to go check out Harvard University. And when she got to Harvard University, it said that she looked at the other people and she got mad. She got mad and she began to wonder, what makes them so different? Why do they have all the opportunities that they have? Then she said, you know what? They are no different than me. If they can get here, so can I. She went back home and she got her grades together. She got a little bit smarter and she applied for a scholarship from the New York Times. And now there is a tremendous story about her called Homeless to Harvard, because her ambition drove her to go after something that her circumstance said wasn't for her. Her ambition drove her to get up from where she was to go after what other people said she couldn't reach. My question, my brothers and my sisters, as we embrace this new year, what does your ambition say to you? Are you simply going to settle for things as they used to be? Or will you embrace a new year and dare to say to yourself, the way things used to be won't be like this anymore for me. I will go after all that God has for me. She admits that one thing that helped her get to where she wanted to be in life was her ambition. Ambition is that drive to achieve something greater. Ambition is that drive to fulfill your God-given purpose. Ambition is that drive that causes you to work longer and harder than others. Ambition is that spark that lets you know that God has given you a vision for your life that has to come to pass. As we begin this new year, I want to push us to live and to fulfill our godly ambition. I want to challenge us to approach every day of this year as a day to accomplish something great for God. But ambition in the world today has a little bit of a negative overtone with it. When somebody talks about ambition today, we kind of assume that maybe, you know, they're a little stuck up, they're a little selfish, they all just want it for themselves. Okay, y'all looking at me like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. The ambitious person that you may be thinking about is that friend of yours that as soon as they get something, they gotta let everybody know they the ones with it. You know, they get a new car, it's a used car, but for them it's a new car and it's better than your car, and they gotta pull up at your house just to show off. And it's their ambition that causes them to show off a little. Let's try another way. It's somebody like Floyd Mayweather, who has all the money that he wants to have, and he would say it's his ambition that got him to where he is. And so sometimes we look at ambition negatively. It's often associated with pride or sort of an evil aggression, self-centeredness. Ambition is often associated with people that are so driven that they'll run over you, they mama, and your mama too, just to get what they want out of life. And so the question has to be asked, Pastor, is ambition really good? Well, there's what's called godly ambition. One example of a person filled with godly ambition is that of Nehemiah, who dared to do what others thought impossible, who dared to do what others had given up hope for, who dared to do what others thought shouldn't be done, who dared to live a life filled with godly ambition. And for Nehemiah, from him, we learn to embrace our godly ambition. First of all, here's what we see, that we must align with God's purpose. If we're going to fulfill our godly ambition, if 2016 is going to be different for us, we have to align with God's purpose. Let me give you the cliff notes of why Nehemiah is where he is. We've looked before at books like Daniel and Isaiah, and we've talked about the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, who showed up and destroyed Judah. They tore down the wall, which was there to protect the people. They destroyed the temple where the people worshiped God. Now understand, brothers and sisters, that our Bible isn't in chronological order. It's in sections. And so Nehemiah, this brother, shows up many years after people like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Daniel. And when Nehemiah shows up, the city had been in ruins for over 140 years. He has never seen a time when the walls were built. He has never seen a time when the temple was used. Not only that, he's the cupbearer for a king named Artaxerxes I. Artaxerxes had a nickname, which was Long Arm, because his right arm was longer than his left arm. And so he's a Long Arm's cupbearer. He hears that some people have tried to rebuild the city, but because they faced so much opposition, they gave up. At that point, something happened within Nehemiah. He had a life-changing moment when he realized that his life meant more than simply existing from day to day. He realized that God had created him to impact the world. When he heard about the condition of the city, the Bible says that he cried and fasted and prayed to God. In chapter 1, he says, in essence, God, I know that you can use me to restore this city. And rather than put it off for somebody else to do, he says, God, if you can use anything, you can use me. Nehemiah's life was changed when he got a God-sized vision. Nehemiah's life was changed when he decided to align his life with God's purpose. My brothers and my sisters, as we're embracing a new year, if you want to make 2016 better than any year before, you've got to embrace a God-sized vision for your life. If you want to make this new year meaningful, then I dare you to align your life with God's purpose. Some people have limited worldly ambition. They simply want new money, new car, new boo, and a new house, and they are good. But then there are those of us who will come to the point in our lives when we realize that having more stuff isn't enough. We want to live a life that matters, a life that counts for something. And I want to challenge you for this new year to seek after a God-sized vision. I want to challenge you to do what Nehemiah did and align your life with God's purpose. But here's why. God has to expand our capacity to accomplish his purpose. If God has given you a vision to change the world, then God has to make provision for you to do it. Okay, y'all missed it. Let me break it down this way. So every year I go to New Orleans for Christmas. And I normally get there the day before Christmas Eve. That's on like the 23rd. Normally fly in 23rd to see my mama, go to my mama's house. And you know, we just eat and kind of laugh and we kind of joke. There are no presents under the tree at all. On the 24th, when most men go shopping, my mama says, baby, I need y'all to go to the store for me. And she gives us a list of Christmas gifts to buy. Now, God has blessed me. I got a nice car, got a nice house, got food on the table. I don't have my mama's kind of money. Now, my mama gives me the list. Now, look at the list, and I know that this list is way beyond my capacity to do anything with it. My mama shops at places that when you go in there, they ask, would you like some water while you wait? I don't really do it. I go by those places. My mama, her list has those places on there. And so I know, mama, I can't do this because the way my checking account and my savings account is set up, this is way beyond my capacity. So my mom, she then says, well, baby, here is a check. I'll put that in your account, and you get all the stuff on the list, and whatever's left over, you keep. And I'm going to the store, you know, because now my capacity has been expanded to accomplish her goals. My brothers and my sisters, if you begin to embrace a God-sized vision for your life, and God gives you a vision that goes far beyond your capacity to handle it, all you have to do is, just like I did with my mama, is look up and say, God, I know what you've given me the vision to do, but the way I'm shaped right now, I don't have the capacity for it. And it's God's responsibility to make provision for the vision that he has given you. I dare you to align yourself with God's purpose so that it expands your own life. I dare you to align your life with God's purpose, because wherever there's not enough room, God will make room. I dare you to align your life with God's purpose, because wherever you are lacking, God will fill it. Nehemiah aligned his life with God's purpose, but not only that, he learned to trust God's plan. I've got to be real. When we embrace godly ambition, it doesn't come easy. Many of us would actually rather avoid godly ambition because it requires too much. Some of us are afraid of godly ambition because it requires us to depend more on God, and that can be downright scary. But the people who change the world, the people who change communities, the people who make a difference, the churches that uplift cities, the churches that uplift neighborhoods, are the ones that embrace godly ambition even when it's hard, even when it's scary, even when God's plan is much bigger than us. Check this out. There's a problem in the text. There's a problem in the text. Listen to this. In chapter 1, Nehemiah says, in the month of Kislev. Now, don't worry about it. Not the same month as us. Different calendar. In the month of Kislev, he said, I aligned my purpose with God's purpose. Think of that kind of like January for us. But then, there's a problem. Nehemiah does what many of us do. We pray about something in January. We think about something in January. We dream about something in January. You tell yourself, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to lose this weight this year. I'm going to lose. I'm going to eat right. I'm going to budget. I'm not going to spend money that I don't have. I'm not going to do that. No, I'm going to budget. I'm going to get it right. And then April comes, and you say to yourself, okay, I'm going to start, I'm going to get it together, I'm going to get it right, I'm going to eat right now. Check this out. In chapter 1, he says, in the month of Kislev, I align with God's purpose. Then in chapter 2, he says, in the month of Nisan. Now, y'all, that's 4 months later. He said, I actually did something. I had to trust God's plan when it was uncomfortable for me. Listen, if this year is going to be the year where you embrace godly ambition, if this year is going to be the year where you live with purpose, if this year is going to be the year where you go after all that God has for you, then it will require for you to get out of your comfort zone. It will require for you to get up off of your tail, that's a good word, and to do something. Nehemiah realized that he had to trust God's plan in order for the vision to come to pass. The problem was that God's plan required him to put himself in harm's way. Nehemiah is the cupbearer for the king. Nehemiah goes before the king. Nehemiah looks sad. Let me help you understand the problem. During that time, it's actually said that King Longom or Artaxerxes, he would have his servants cover their mouth when coming into his presence so that their breath wouldn't offend him. Nehemiah goes before the king, and as the cupbearer, he looks sad. Now, this is putting his life at danger, because as a cupbearer, you have to look happy and you have to look like you're healthy when you're bringing me something to drink, because it's your job to die first. So he comes before Artaxerxes, and Artaxerxes says, hold up, bro, why you coming in my presence looking all sad?
You're not sick, are you?
In other words, I know you didn't get sick and try to bring something for me to drink.
Nehemiah, you're close to dying. What's wrong with you?
The problem is that God's plan required him to get out of his comfort zone and to even put his own life at risk. For the king to ask him, Nehemiah, what's wrong? And then it says, y'all, I got scared. And he said, I pray, God, I'm about to say something. I need you to be with me. My brothers and my sisters, if you're going to go after all that God has for you, then you've got to learn to trust God even when it's uncomfortable for you. You've got to learn to trust God in 2016, even when you don't know how God is working. Nehemiah would say to you, y'all, I was scared and I could have died, but I made up my mind to go after something that was much bigger than me. In order for God to expand my capacity, I have to get out of my comfort zone and dare to do something. My brothers and my sisters, if 2016 is going to be your year to fulfill your godly ambition, you're going to have to be willing to move beyond your comfort zone and trust God to make a way for you. I'm out of your way when I tell you this, brothers and sisters. Thirdly, you've got to be willing to accept God's provision. I told you, my mama had more than me. Now, I could have been trying to act all bougie and act like I just had it together and I wanted to impress her and act like I had the kind of finances that she had and say, no, mama, I got it. There's a friend of mine who said he was taking this very popular preacher out to eat because he was hosting the preacher. He went to this one restaurant and preacher saw the restaurant. Preacher said, brother, let's go to this other restaurant. So they went in there with the preacher with this other restaurant. He knew this preacher had thousands of members. He's just an associate at a church. And so he went in and he saw how nice the restaurant was. He said he saw the people walk with their hand behind their back. And he just knew this was not the kind of restaurant he normally goes in. He said he sat down and he looked at the menu and he didn't see any prices on the menu. And so he's a little unnerved, but he got to make sure he's impressing this particular preacher. And so he walked off to the side. He asked one of the waiters, and the waiter gave him the price, and he knew he could not afford this at all. He's sitting there making life decisions as to, now, God, I don't know how I'm going to get my rent paid. The brother wanted to come here and impress him. And so when the check finally came and he saw the amount of the check, he went in to pull out his wallet, put out his card. And the preacher looked at him and laughed. He said, boy, what are you doing? You know you can't afford. And he's like, no problem, yes sir. And he put his wallet right back in his pocket. So because he realized, in order for me to be here, I'm going to have to embrace the provision that the person that brought me here has. My brothers and my sisters, when God begins to bring you to what he has for you, it's God's responsibility to make provisions for you. And what you cannot do is be embarrassed by what God is doing in your life. Check out the text. The text says, Nehemiah said, King, thank you for letting me go, but before I go, can you give me this? I'm going to need some wood, and I'm going to need these letters so that I can get exactly what it is that God has for me. And he let the king make provision. My brothers and my sisters, I dare you in 2016 to look up to God and say, God, I need you to make provision for the vision that you have given me. If God has told you that he wants you to be a business owner and you know you don't have the capacity for it, then I dare you to say, God, can you make provision for me to do that? If God has called you to go back to school and you know you don't have the money for it, I dare you in 2016 to say, God, can you make provision for me to do that? If God has given you the vision to build a house or to buy a house and you know you don't have the resources for it, I dare you in 2016 to go beyond your own capacity and embrace God's ability to provide for you. I'm out of your way. Noah will tell you this. I didn't know how I was going to build a boat, but God gave me the vision to build.
So I simply started building. Next thing you know, we had a boat. And when it rained, God had already taken care of us. Moses would say to you, I did not know how I was going to lead the people across the Red Sea. But when I got there, God had already made provisions for us.
My brothers and my sisters coming a little closer to us. They're not the only ones who had godly ambition. But Harriet Tubman would say to you, I had godly ambition.
I saw a world where my own people were no longer enslaved. And though it was a risk for me, I just trust God to make a way. Dr. King would tell you, I saw a world where my own people had the right to sit at lunch counters with other people, and they told me I should not do it, but I just trust God to make a way.
Our own President Obama would say, I had a vision where people had access to health care, and though others said it could not happen, I just believed that God could do great things. My brothers and my sisters, if you want God to do something great in your life in 2016,